Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Trying to bring you harm, like you're dealing with trauma and a wound has been activated and you're trying to heal, and that's going to come through in your dreams.
Like, those are things that are translating. And so maybe that's something that you should work on, is why do I feel powerless?
Yeah.
Because I have all the power. This is my goddamn fucking dream.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Today, well, first of all, hold the fuck up. I have to.
Today. That's a Cardi B meme.
What is that?
Today.
What is that? I wanted to say, before we even get into it, I wanted to say what Steven just came in here and said. So Steven just walked in here and he said, "Hello, ladies. What are we witching about today?"
Yeah. I love that.
So what we're witching about today is dream invasion, as you can tell from whatever the title of this episode might be. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about paranormal / psychic, whatever, dream invasion. It's something that happens when you lucid dream, and you might have experienced it before and not even realized it. And there's all different types of dream invasion scenarios, and if this is happening to you and you don't want it to be happening to you, there are also ways that you can kind of protect your energy and protect your subconscious mind while you're asleep. So I'm excited about this.
Me too. I'm super excited because dreams are, talking about dreams has always been something I love to do, because I do remember my dreams. I've talked about on the podcast some of my recurring dreams that I had throughout my life, and I am even before I was like into witchcraft or even spirituality, like I knew that dreams had a meaning, and I definitely have always believed that, like, that's my subconscious thinking about things that I'm not thinking while I'm awake. And there's a lot of dreams that, like, I still don't know the meaning to, and it's just very intriguing. And I love hearing about other people's dreams, maybe because it makes me feel a little less crazy that I'm, like, not the only one that has crazy dreams. But also, okay, maybe I'll share this when we get down there. But I think there's also something about being an empath and dream invasion that, like, it can happen to you more being empathic, or maybe you're like picking up on it. And like you said, like how to protect your energy, because I feel like almost, you know, when you're an open book, like you're really easy to like maybe dream invade. I don't know, but I have some stories and we'll get into it.
Okay. I love that. I fully believe, I mean, I've said this for like 2 years, I fully believe that when you cannot stop dreaming about somebody, it's, and like if you don't even think about them on a regular basis, it's because they are actively trying to manifest themselves in your life in one way, shape, or form. And I mean, it goes both
it's
ways.
It's intrusive.
Like, it's very intrusive.
It's very intrusive. And it makes you, if you're not aware of it, it can make you question your reality a little bit, because like you said, it could be somebody who you are not interested in, and they're in your dreams all the time, and you're like, do I have feelings for this person? Is that why I continue to dream about them? If you know that, like, that person is, like, just a random ass person, and, like, you really don't know, then there's a good chance that they are invading your dreams.
Yes.
And it's not always you. It depends, but, like, that's happened to me before, for sure, where I kept dreaming. I think this was when, I don't know if this is when I was working at Pier 1, but I just kept having a dream about this coworker, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about this coworker. I mean, like, they're a nice person, but, like, I don't have any feelings for this person. Why are they always in my dreams? Like, we're not even, like, friends, really. Like, we don't hang out outside of work, nothing. And like, looking back, because, like, I wasn't researching this kind of stuff years ago, but, like, looking back, I'm like, you know, I wonder if that person, like, just thought about me a lot.
Yeah, or maybe they thought you were pretty or something.
And they manifested themselves into my dream, because it confused me for a long time. And I was like, do I actually like this person? I don't, like, know about it. Like, what is this?
Another thing too, is if someone is trying to manifest you, but their energy maybe isn't that strong, or it's just like, you're just not meant to be a part of their lives, manifesting themselves into your dreams so that they subconsciously think, oh, maybe since I'm dreaming about this person, they're worth getting to know in real life.
Mm-hmm.
It can also work like that.
Yeah. Because I mean, for sure, if you're thinking about someone in your dreams all the time, like, during your waking moments, it can plague you. Like, why the hell am I dreaming of this person? And also, as an empath, looking back on my life and, like, thinking about the people that I've dated or the people that I had crushes on I had crushes on, I think I kind of realized that I took on other people's emotions and energies. And there were people who I really actually didn't like, but because they liked me, like, I picked up on that, and I almost turned that into, yeah, I like you. Like, because they liked me, mm-hmm. and I was so attuned to their energy, and I could feel how much they liked me, that it almost was like, oh, I like them. Like, it kind of manipulated my emotions a little bit, because I at the time didn't know how heavy I took on other people's emotions. And not that it was that way with every person I ever had feelings for, but, like, there are just a few people in specific that I'm like, you know, I actually really never liked that person. I think they just liked me so much. But, like, I'm sorry, I just didn't have the returning feelings. But I was like, oh, okay, maybe I do like this person. And, like, they would be in my dreams and stuff. And it would make me question what do I like? Why am I dreaming of this person? Invasion, invaders.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not even, it's not on purpose. I think a majority of the time it is not on purpose.
I would agree, because I mean, unless I'm, like, totally wrong here, how many people, I don't know much of anybody who probably believes in, like, dream manifestation? Like, oh, if I think about this person, I'm going to go to their dream. Like, I don't think I know a lot of people who know that they have the ability to do that. So it's just their subconscious thoughts. And it's not like they're trying to do anything on purpose, of course.
Unless they are.
But I've thought about that too, where it's like, you know, you and I, if we wanted to do some kind of dream manifestation or whatever it is, like, we know the tools, we, like, know the steps to take to try it out, and you know, not to give up if you're trying to do something and it's not working. But, like, people who aren't, you know, attuned spiritually, or, you know, some people think, oh, I don't remember my dreams, so I just don't, I must not dream. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, is this, I heard this somewhere, and I don't know if this was in a class, but, like, everybody, I'm pretty sure everybody dreams. And it happens whether or not you remember your dreams, because like your brain has to be doing something while you're sleeping. You can't just be like, you know, you were not ever totally turned off. It's like, it's not like a light switch. Like everybody dreams, but I think it depends on the sleep cycle that you wake up in most days, and how complete your sleep cycle was. And it has to do with, you know, the times that you go to bed and like, are you not getting enough sleep at night and you're waking up in deep sleep? Cause like, if you wake up in the middle of your dream, a lot of times you remember it. And like, I have multiple dreams per night. Like I have multiple storylines that happen. Does that happen to you? Do you ever have multiple dreams in one night that are totally different?
I don't ever really separate them. I kind of just feel like I wake up and I think this happened and then this happened and then this happened and it was all one dream. I've never felt like, unless I wake up after a dream and then I go back to sleep and I have another one, then I consider those two separate.
Okay. Ones. Yeah. I definitely have like totally different dreams. I've also definitely woken up in the middle of an amazing dream and been angry.
Yeah.
But that was such a good dream. I just want to go back. And all you want to do is go back.
I've tried to fall back into a dream before. I've been successful before, I feel like. Yeah. Just like really wanting to get back to, you know, I don't know, maybe.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever. Like maybe you were about to win the lottery. Maybe you were about to make out with somebody really hot. Whatever. Like, yeah. I just want to go back to the dream.
Well, and then something else that happens to me a lot is whatever emotions happen to me in a dream, like my body is doing in real life. So like in my sleep, I am laughing, I'm talking, I'm crying. Like I wake up and I've got tears rolling down my face, which really fucking sucks to have to wake up crying. You're like, Jesus Christ, I do this enough in my waking hours. Now I'm waking up crying. But I do talk in my sleep and laugh in my sleep. And like sometimes I kind of groan and like make old lady noises and like things that are happening to me in my dream definitely come out of my actual mouth, my physical body. And but yeah, so dreams, I mean, I think dreams hold a lot of significance. I personally, have I ever tried to jump in on someone's dream? No, I don't think so. Not intentionally, at least.
So for anyone who has never heard of like lucid dreams, like dream invasion takes place within a lucid dream. And a lucid dream are those where you're fully aware that you're dreaming and there are certain aspects of your dream that you can control. So I was telling Liz before we started recording that I have personally heard that if you realize that you're dreaming, one thing you can do is find a light switch in your dream, which I think if you're aware you're dreaming, you could technically just think about a light switch and it would appear.
Right.
You have like control in your dream and then flick it. And I think they say if your light doesn't turn on, even though you're flicking the light switch on and off, it means that you are lucid dreaming and you're free to fly or do whatever you want. And it takes place on like the astral plane or whatever, which I don't fully understand exactly where the astral plane exists, but we all have access to it when we sleep. And pretty much from this article that I'm reading, the dream is manifested by the dreamer within the astral plane and brought into temporary existence there. Temporary because the dreamer often does not have enough awareness or ability to make the space permanent, and it disappears once the dreamer leaves or awakes. The invader enters this space and then interacts with the dreamer, and an invader can do this through meditation, ritual, astral projection, or even through their own lucid dreams. Inception much, motherfuckers?
That is insane. Yeah, talk about inception. Gosh. And I think like lucid dreaming, honestly, I think takes a lot of practice. Like if you want to just go to bed and you're like, I'm gonna lucid dream tonight, I think it really does take practice. I think that there are definitely people who just kind of, I mean, you may have also like developed how to do it just naturally on your own. Like there's probably a spectrum of how people learned, but I remember, and I was telling Brooke this before we started recording, like, when I first started wanting to lucid dream, like, I was trying really hard, and nothing was happening, and it wasn't working. And there was the very, very first time I lucid dreamt, it was all of 5 seconds. I was in an elevator, and I remember hitting, like, we were hitting all the floors, and there were just tons and tons of floors, and I was like, I know that I'm not in a building with like 30 floors. Why am I still in the elevator? Like, why is it still dinging on every floor? And I was like, oh shit, I'm dreaming. And I instantly just like sat down in the elevator, and then I woke up and I was pissed. I was like, oh my God, I did it. And then I fucking woke up.
Yeah, it's hard to make yourself stay asleep.
Yeah. Granted, that dinging was actually my alarm clock. So I had to get up. I couldn't try to go back to sleep. That happens to me a lot too. It's like noises that are happening. And that was a very big problem for me when I was in high school. My alarms were going off for 20 plus minutes until somebody else in my household was sick and tired of me not turning off my alarm and would walk in my room. Elizabeth, turn off your alarm clock. It's been 20 minutes. And like, I got up 2 hours before everybody else, because I cared about my appearance in high school. And that took me like 2 hours. But what was happening the entire time was literally, I remember being like, oh, like I was on a tugboat. and all I could hear was like, burr, burr. And it was like my alarm. And I was like, that was a really annoying tugboat. Like, it wouldn't stop. And I, like, it actually became, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to wake up for life? Like, jobs, school. I was actually kind of worried because I was like, alarm clocks don't wake me up. I just hear them and they become a part of my dream and I'm not waking up to them. And then I got an iPhone, and the iPhone ringtone, or the like alarm clock, is so miserably annoying that
so loud.
That woke me up. That woke me up. That was obnoxious. But since I haven't actively tried or practiced anything really to lucid dream, but I have been lucid dreaming recently. And I was also telling Brooke that there's still a barrier that I have to overcome, because when I'm lucid dreaming now, the lucid dreams that I've had the past couple of weeks, I will be in the dream, and this happened the very first time, and it's happened ever since, I say out loud, like, I'm dreaming. And it almost, like, I don't know if I always say it out loud, because, like, that's, like, my confirmation, but I just continue with the plot of the dream. And I, even though I'm totally aware that I have control and I can manipulate the dream and do whatever I want, I don't. I just keep going on with the dream, but I'm fully aware that I'm dreaming. It's very strange.
I don't know. I've never actively tried to lucid dream, but I've experienced it, but just not on purpose. And I feel like most people do that. But they don't realize it. And I mean, I have no interest in forcing myself to lucid dream, because I'm prone to sleep paralysis a little bit. And I have woken up before and hallucinated things in my room and seen, like, figures. And, you know, my friend Rose, like, it happens to her all the time, and she's seen some really freaky shit. And the first time it happened to me, she was, like, staying over with me, and I remember I kicked my leg out and kicked her while she was asleep. She was dead asleep, and I kept saying, like, do you see it? There's a short clown in the room. Like,
oh my God, it was a freaking clown?
It was something that kind of looked like a clown, but I wasn't, terrified.
That's scary.
I was just like, that's, like, really... So this is what it's like. I was like, this is what everyone who has sleep paralysis complains about, is this type of creepy shit. But anyways, so as we were saying, sometimes it's not purposeful. Like, sometimes somebody is not meaning to invade your dream, and other times it is purposeful. So the difference is, And I will actually, hopefully I'll remember to put this link to this exact article somewhere in the description. So if you guys want, you can go read it for yourself. But with accidental invasion, Brooke, pronounce the T's. I never pronounce my T's. I always say like accidental, like dental.
Why is that something that people tell me I over pronounce my T's? I get told that I over pronunciate my T's.
You do sometimes, because whenever I do it in my head, I'm listening to your voice and I'm like, pronounce it like she does. Like, I'm dead ass serious. I've done it for years. Whenever I'm like, dental, I'm like, no, dental?
Dental. So, very, very small rabbit trail. I was very embarrassed in high school to have a Southern accent. I grew up in the South, and for some reason, I was embarrassed to have a Southern accent, and I actively tried to drop it, and it worked. I really don't have one anymore, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And what I did to drop it was I extra pronounced my T's and, like, the endings of words. I, like, hardened the sound, and that's what I did to drop my accent, and now it's just the way I talk.
That's really interesting, and it's funny that people have said that, because now that I think about it, like, absolutely.
It's so silly that, like, do not hate your accent, no matter what it is. It is you, and that is good.
Especially but I thought Appalachian accents, like Kentucky, yes. And like...
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was, like, really worried, because, I mean... There's a lot of people that I grew up around that I didn't, like, I could barely understand. Like, I needed subtitles to talk to people because, I mean, you know, the way I kind of mimicked, whenever out here in Denver, they're like, what is your kind of accent, like, where you grew up? And I was like, just envision you got a big old clump of gum stuck in front of your bottom teeth in the side. Right there. Okay, because, like, a lot of people had dip, and they, you know, they hung it out in the bottom teeth, and it changes your speech a little bit. And I think the Appalachian accent is just, like, words kind of blur together. And, yeah, there's not as much pronunciation on, like, the harsher letters, like T and K and, so rabbit trail. But anyway. I just thought it was funny that you were like, I need to pronunciate my T's. And I remember being told in Waynesboro, why do you over pronunciate your T's?
Yeah. Maybe I don't need to work on it. Fuck it. Whatever. Anyways.
You don't. Your accent is perfect.
Accidental invasion mm-hmm. occurs when one or more people have a strong connection to the dreamer. Many times all of the people involved are dreaming, and the invasion takes the form of a shared dream where someone is either one pulled or is inserted into someone else's dream without their expressed consent. The invader means no harm and has no desire to invade the other's dream. It happens by accident. It often occurs, like you said, with empaths, people who have the ability to feel and share other people's emotions. They involuntarily mm-hmm. enter and experience another's dream simply due to their natural abilities. I'd be mad as fuck if I was trying to have me a dream and somebody else zapped me into theirs.
Dude. Okay, so I totally understand why it's usually accidental. Like, I do, because I'm sure I've done it. But also, like it says, like, there's no consent there. Like, no. The person, and usually probably on, like, either side.
No.
Because if it's totally accidental, then the person doing the dream invading didn't consent to that. And then the person who is, their dream is being invaded upon didn't consent to that. So, like, that's... I don't know, that makes it, like, very, I'm very conflicted, because, I mean, like, you know, consent is a very important thing in all aspects, and what do you do when, like, you can't give consent to this? And, like, what if it's really bothering you?
Kick them out.
Get the fuck out. Like, I would love, I mean, sometimes I wish we had a live audience that could answer questions. Because, like, I really want to know, like, has anybody ever experienced a dream where someone was literally just harassing you, like, by their presence, by them being there all the time?
Stop. Get the fuck out. I don't know. How weird would it be if you had a bad dream about somebody and then you went and told them and they were like, yeah, and this happened. I know because I was there and I did it on purpose. Like, I would sock them because I have no control unless I can't snap myself out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and there's definitely been times where only a few, and I think it was in high school where one of my best friends was like, you were in my dream last night. And she was like, you were in mine. And we were, like, our dreams were very different, but we were in each other's dreams. And it was like, weird. Whoa.
That's crazy. With purposeful invasion, like I said before when I was talking about, you know, like, oh, like, when you were saying you worked at Pier 1 and this person, you know, like, you didn't have any interest in this person, but they kept popping up in your dream. Much of what occurs in a dream is left in the subconscious or unconscious mind. The subconscious / unconscious mind influences much of our daily lives. Why would someone purposely invade someone else's dream? Because they want their subconscious to be affected. So whether or not someone is, like, actively working to invade your dreams, like, it could just be somebody off the street who's never heard of anything spiritual or not interested in anything weird, occult, third eye chakra open, whatever,
right?
Regardless, like, your subconscious can still be affected or influenced by other people's responses, their motivations for you, memories of you, and that's what Inception is based off of, the movie Inception.
That's so interesting. One of the first things that you had just read off of that article was that it's almost like your mind is having you, if you are thinking about somebody and you almost need positive affirmation, like, oh yeah, that's real. And it's almost like, I mean, is that what that's called? What, selective research? Like, it's almost like when you have a question about something and you do research and you click on articles and you read information that is for sure going to back up your claim. Like, and you don't read opposing things. It's almost like our mind is doing that to us because, like, we had this one random thought and you're like, do I like that person? Do I not like that person? But your mind is like, well, you keep having dreams about them, buddy. So, like, and then you're like, oh yeah, well, I must, because, like, I'm having these dreams. And it's almost like, can I trust it? Because, like, is this me thinking these things? Is this someone invading thinking these things? Is it purposeful? Is it not purposeful? Like, all of this matters. This all matters based for me to make a decision on why the heck I think I'm dreaming of these things.
Another reason for someone purposely invading your dream is to feed on the emotional energy created during a dream state. And these are done in the form of, you know, like, sex dreams, dreams where you're, you know, engaging in, like, lustful activity with somebody else. And that's also brings into play the idea of incubus and succubus, whatever. If anyone's ever had, like, a dream or, you know, had, like, a sleep paralysis dream where you wake up and you feel like something's on your chest, or, you know, not so, well, I'm going to get graphic. I don't care. You feel like something's, like, going on down there. Like, there's, like, some activity. Yeah. Like, that could definitely be the result of somebody or something purposefully invading your dreams. And this is, like, super weird. So this says, one particular type of attack / invasion that is employed by these invaders is a form of false sleep paralysis, where the invader creates an astral representation of the dreamer's bedroom or sleeping space and then mimics the symptoms of sleep paralysis accompanied with a hallucinatory experience. There are theories that propose that alien abductions are these types of experiences in addition to regular sleep paralysis. Normal sleep paralysis is self-contained. Hallucinations that accompany sleep paralysis often follow an irrational pattern. So, for example, in a false sleep paralysis attack, the clock in your room and the picture on the wall are vivid, but the glass of water or magazine you took to bed is gone. Isn't that fucking
that is
weird?
So weird.
That just gave me chills.
Whoa, ew. That is so weird. Ew. Oh, that just gave me chills too. That has, to my knowledge, not ever happened to me. But that's like, I mean, energetic vampires are hard to deal with in your awake time.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you could possibly, you might be harassed by an energy vampire while you're fucking sleeping.
Yeah.
Jesus. God. Which
brings us to the difference between dream invasions and nightmares.
Mm.
Because sometimes they can be similar. I mean, yeah. Of course, like, why wouldn't any of what I just read, like, resemble a nightmare? Like, that's...
Yeah, that sounded like a nightmare to me.
Like, God, nightmares are formulated around a personal stressor that is occurring in your life. These can be mental stresses or physical stresses, such as illness and injury. They're typically self-contained, similar to regular sleep paralysis episodes. However, dream invasion, on the other hand, has great detail, particularly when it comes to interaction with other people or beings in the dream. And the interactions are persistent, they don't shift or change, and they're logical. In nightmares, they're not logical. Like, you know, you see teeth growing out of somebody's forehead or something.
Right, yeah.
Like, as opposed to in a dream, like a dream invasion, you see your little sister's tooth fall out in front of you. Like, that's something that could happen.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. I don't even, like, honestly, I don't really have too many nightmares. And I'm wondering if some of the more bad dreams that I've had, because they have been, like, more logical stuff. Like, I don't know. A lot of my dreams tend to be logical. Like, the craziest things don't happen. Like, I'm usually, like, living a different life in my dreams. And, I wonder, does it say anything about dreaming of, like, someone who's passed away, like a loved one?
Mm-hmm.
And if you dream of them, could it be, obviously it could be your own manifestation, but I wonder if it could also be, like, them manifesting through the astral plane to come into your dream.
I think it can be both, because I know for a fact that, like, I asked over and over for dreams of Effie and I got like four, you know, and
yeah.
She was a dog. She wasn't a person.
Yeah.
So I think it could go either way.
Yeah. Because I have like the most weird dreams, and I have asked for dreams about my mom. And that was actually one of the first things that like, when I got into my practice, I really just wanted to like talk to my mom and I wanted to have dreams with her. And I just want to like spend time with her in my dreams. And I still to this day haven't been able to do that in the way that I want to. And I think, so I believe my dreams with her in it, I don't think that that's her manifesting in my dream. I think that is myself manifesting my fears into my dreams, because all of the dreams that I have with her in them start off as being amazing. We're hanging out, we're doing something. Every single dream, she goes missing. And I spend the whole rest of the dream looking for her and I never find her. And I feel like she becomes like a missing person. Like she was kidnapped in one, like something where like she just disappeared. And she becomes a missing person, and the whole dream, I'm the only one looking for her. Like, the police aren't looking for her. There aren't search people. And I'm like, why is no one looking for her? And I'm the only one looking for her, and I never find her. And it's a stress dream major, major stress dream the whole rest of the time. And I'm like, that I think is me. And I think that's like my stuff and my fears and my trauma manifesting itself. Because I did ask for her to be in my dream, but I don't think that's her, because I really don't think a loved one.
No, she wouldn't say.
Is not, right. She would never manifest a stress dream for me. So if you're ever wondering, like, okay, I kind of had this dream, like where this person that I wanted to be in my dream was there, but like, it was a bad dream. That's most likely not them. Like, don't think that that person came back and gave you a stress dream, because I am dealing with that right now. And I don't think that that is my mom in any way. I think that's my trauma and my sadness manifesting that. But I still, to this day, I have not had a positive dream of her. And it's been, what year is it?
2020.
It's been 6 years. And I haven't had a positive dream about her. And I asked for them. So also, on like the topic of asking for people to be in your dreams, because I talk about this with my therapist, who I love. I always like message Brooke. I messaged you last week and I was like, hey girl, just got out of therapy. What up? Having a good day. but I was telling her about it, and it's, you know, I might not be capable of actually having her manifest herself in my dreams right now, because I'm so hung up with a lot of trauma and sadness that she may be trying to come in through my dreams, but she can't, because like, I have a huge blockage right there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I need to work through. So just, if you do ask for somebody, especially a past loved one, to come into your life, and you're like, why am I having sad dreams? It might just be something that you have to look inward about and maybe look at your own blockages, because I really don't think a loved one would never come back and plague you with a terrible dream.
Yeah. And I mean, I have never... No, I've had a couple dreams about my dad since he passed away. The one that I remember very vividly is I was in the backseat of a car, and I was, and it was like reminiscent of something that happened when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I remember specifically as a kid, my grandma driving away from his house, and I was hanging my head out the window, waving at him. And in the dream, it was similar to that, but I rolled the window down and I looked at him. He just said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. And like, I never asked for that dream. I don't even know if I was thinking about him before I went to sleep, but it was so nice and comforting. And I just wish that everybody could get stuff like that, because I mean, there's, you know, Steven still has bad stress dreams about Effie dying.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to get through to somebody who doesn't tap into like the spiritual side of life, to get them to understand that like, she's not sending you this.
Right.
This is your brain trying to process trauma and grief and death and loss. Like, she's not sending you these nightmares. Yeah. Don't blame yourself, you know? And like, that's another thing that's like, I mean, it's been 6 years since your mom passed away and you're still having dreams like that. And it starts to make you think like, what else do I have to fucking process? Like, work do I have to do?
Seriously. And, you know, I think that's a really good point that you bring up, is especially, you know, if you are trying to talk to somebody who, you know, maybe isn't into spirituality or not as much or whatever the case is. So for me, I definitely recognize that right now, I'm not going to get her in a dream, because I have too much unresolved. It's not going to happen right now. That doesn't mean forever, but right now that's not going to happen. And just if you are looking to have somebody come visit you in your dream, and you realize that you have a blockage to work on. So like, even me, who knows there's a blockage, I don't know. I mean, like, if I knew how to fix that shit would be fixed. I'm still trying to figure out what I have to do And I go to regular therapy and I still don't know. Like, I'm working on it. But if you do want to talk to that person or have that person visit you, they don't have to visit you in a dream. So if you do realize that, like, you have a blockage when you're dreaming, ask them to visit you when you're awake. Because that's what I do. And I talk to my mom when I'm awake. I ask for signs from her. I feel her presence when I am awake. And until I work on that blockage, I have stopped asking her to come to me in a dream or even try, because I know that that's not going to work out right now. And I think that Steven received messages from Effie, not in dreams, right? He received them being awake. So because that can be a real bummer. If you think the only way I can talk to this person is through a dream, and then you realize that that's not going to happen, like, that could be really sad. Like, don't think that that's the only way to contact somebody that you want to talk to or you want to think about. It's just, you know, it is a really nice way to talk to people and to contact people while you're dreaming. But it's not always going to be able to happen depending on what you have going on inside your head.
So. Yeah, and not everybody, I remember specifically you saying, like, after Effie had died and I was telling you that he, like, really wanted a sign from her in a dream because I had gotten so many, and you were just like, you know, tell him to look for her in a way that's meaningful to him. And so every time he goes fishing, he always says, like, if I catch, like, a 9-pound fish, like, Effie was, like, roughly 9 pounds, or, I don't know, because that's just something very special to him. But I mean, it sucks. It really sucks to not be able to help somebody decipher their dreams.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to just feed them a load of bullshit, but you're also like, nobody can know exactly what you saw in your mind's eye. So no one can fully be empathetic with you about whatever it is that you saw, or, like, I don't know. It sucks. But every time I've asked for a dream from her, I've gotten it the next day. I mean, like, I got one.
And you don't only get dreams, like, especially from Effie. I mean, you've had so many things awake and asleep.
Yeah.
And probably, I mean, like, with that, you know, she probably, obviously, like, you had the biggest connection with her, and she knows that, like, you're listening. Because I swear to God, half of the time when you're dreaming about someone, if you're not into all this, whoever it is like, what else do you fucking need from me? I am showing you all these dreams. I'm giving you all these signs during the day. How do you not see me still? But, like, you see her, like, you know. So, like, she doesn't even have to try as hard with you. Yeah. Because you see every sign.
Yeah. Like, I have picked up on, God, so many just little things that just, like, nobody but me would notice, because I was always, like, she's always in my office. So, like, I mean, I swear one day I came in here and, like, the blanket that she used to, like, cuddle up on, I had it folded and not touched. And then maybe another animal ruffled it up, but, like, it was unfolded and, like, looked like somebody had laid in it. And I'm just like, see, you have to be open to the possibility of things like that even happening. And also, I kind of feel like, people who aren't open to the idea of, you know, anyone being able to reach in their dreams or anyone being able to pull them into their dreams, it's probably not going to happen to you.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I haven't had a single dream of Bingley either. And I think to me, my unresolved trauma definitely affects me on a dream level. I don't dream of my mom. I don't dream of my dad. I don't dream of my cat. Like, there's a lot of things that I would love to dream about and have asked for dreams for, but I don't get them ever. And I haven't had a bad dream about Bingley either. I just haven't had a dream about him at all. But something that I know is him and has actually increased, this has severely increased over the past 2 weeks, is Bingley, like, being with me. And I'm at the point now where this happens. So there's two things that happen to me, is when I'm laying down, because I'm always under the covers, because I'm a cold-ass bitch, and I can feel a cat sitting on me. And I am to the point now where it happens so much that every time I feel that, I have to look down and see which cat it is. Because it happens so often that I feel a cat on me, and I look down and, like, Garfunkel is not on my lap. And, like, I can feel, honestly, Bingley is the strongest presence that I feel from, you know, my loved ones that have passed on. I feel my cats, like, literally, I'm like, oh my God, I could pet you. You are right there. I can, like, literally feel you. And so these are the two things that he did the most. He was always laying on me. The second I laid down, that cat was on my lap. And then the second thing is, while I would just be standing, usually while I was cooking, he would just come up and rub up against my ankles and just, you know, like, you know, boop up against me. And I feel that all the time. I feel an animal rub up against my feet, and I look down and, like, Garfunkel's not there. And so I feel it's just so strong that I always have to look, because I never know which cat it is.
That's so cool.
It's so real. It is so real. And that I'm like, there is a cat on my lap right now. And the first time that happened to me, I was so blown away, because I was like, there's something on my lap, but there's
That's
nothing on my
lap. Very common, apparently, after a pet has died. I was reading in that pet grieving book, and so many people would say they'd feel their dog jump on the end of their bed, which is, like, crazy to me.
It's insane. It's insane. And it's so comforting. Like, it's so comforting. And so I think that's, I just get strong things, strong signs while I'm awake. And I think Bingley and my mom both know that, like, dreams are not happening for me right now. I'm working on it. Yeah. So they're like, we're just going to shower you with signs while you're awake. And those are special too. Like, those are just special.
No, I love that though. I felt like that day when I was in Target and I walked past those mugs. I think it was like a day where I knew for sure that you were struggling. I forget what it was that you were dealing with that day, but, like, I walked past those mugs and I saw the Oy Vey one.
Yes.
And I, like, your mom's the only person that I knew to use that phrase. Mm-hmm. So no matter how common the phrase actually is, like, she's the only one that I knew to use it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but Steven just let Harley in here. Okay. Anyways, but, like, just the fact that, and it was the only one there.
Yeah.
The only Oy Vey mug.
And, like, also, I personally, not since COVID, but, like, used to be an avid Target goer, I've never seen Oy Vey anything on Target merchandise.
No. It's such an obscure reference, you know? And so I was like, I gotta send this to her because she needs a message. This is her mom speaking. Yeah. Like,
that, yeah. Stuff like that is, and if those to me are the things that, like, our loved ones are like, but I put a giant Oy Vey mug in front of your face. How would you not see that? But unless you're open and you're, like, kind of looking for those signs, like, on a level, I think you do have to be looking. You would walk right past it. Like,
yeah.
Why would, you know, that wouldn't, and you might even see it. Like, you might even literally go, oh, Liz's mom said Oy Vey, and just pass it. And I keep going. But, like, the message was just for you. You took a picture of it and you sent it to me. And you were like, this is a hi from your mom. And I was struggling that day. And oh my God, I'm not going to cry. But yeah, I think, like, I don't know. Sometimes when I was first getting into my practice and everything, I was like, well, if I'm looking for signs, aren't I just going to find stuff? Like, if I'm looking am I going to find things that, like, I wouldn't have just seen? And, like, almost, like, am I finding things? Am I just verifying my own thoughts, you know, by finding? But, like,
selective yes, research. No. Are you doing
selective research? But, like, yes and no, I think, because if you're not looking at all, like, you're going to pass the signs. You're not going to see them. But also, I think the way that I comforted myself knowing, like, okay, I know this is a sign and it's not just me, is I started getting really specific with my signs. And I was like, I want to see peachy keen. That was something my mom always said, was peachy keen. Like, I want to see peachy keen. And, like, that's not something that I necessarily see all the time in life. Or, like, I don't know other people that say that. Mm-hmm. She was the only person I knew that said that. So even though it is not the most uncommon phrase, like, I don't know people that say it. And so when I hear it, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I know for a fact. Like, I have no doubt in my mind. Because there is one thing that always happens to me. And it's something where somebody could totally be like, it's just a light switch. Like, so when I'm driving at night, lampposts turn on or off, like, as I'm passing them. And yes, you could definitely be like, you drove past the lamp when it was scheduled to turn off. Like, yes, that is a thing. Sure. And so, like, those are the things where I was like, maybe I am just driving past it at the same time every night after work. And I'm hitting it on the same schedule. So if you're ever like, I'm not sure, then, like, get more specific with your sign. I still think that was her, even though, sure, it is definitely something that could have been a timed schedule that I was on, coming home after work and driving down the same street at the same time.
It could be her sending a message, like, from Harry Potter on Privet Drive when all the lights went off from Dumbledore because she loved Harry Potter.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Oh my God, that's so true. So personally, I still believe that was a sign. But if you're still like, oh my God, I don't know, like, get more specific with your signs. Like, you can get very specific. And you do have to kind of pay attention. Like, I saw a bath mat that was being advertised to me from Urban Outfitters.
Yep, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
The peachy clean, yeah. Bath mat, and it's got a peach, and it sounds like peachy keen. And I got advertised that, and I was like, oh my God, first of all, that is such a cute bath set. I need that. But also, I was like, that is something. So, like, when you're scrolling on your phone, when you're driving, when you're reading a book, I mean, like, anything. I mean, it doesn't have to appear physically. I think you just have to be open. You have to be open. And I think it's easy, like, in the beginning, it can be exhausting because you're like, oh my God, I'm looking everywhere. I'm waiting. And it can kind of be exhausting because you're like, how hard do I have to pay attention?
Yeah.
But I think after a while, you just kind of, like, you'll see it. One of the things, so one of the more recent signs that I had asked for, I wanted an answer to a question that I had. And this was, like, a couple weeks back. And I was asking if I was making the right decision, going down the right path. And I specifically, I was like, if I am, I want to see a shooting star. And I was like, that is a big thing to ask, because, like, what are the odds that, like, you're looking up at the sky? I live in the city and I really don't see stars at night. Like, I really can't see them most of the time. And I was like, but if I'm making the right decision, I need to see a shooting star. And then I ended up seeing one the next day, not in the sky. I didn't see an actual shooting star, but I came across, I saved it. Let me see if while I'm talking about it, I can pull it up. So it was a TikTok, but it's a TikTok that just does, they just post like emotional thoughts. Like, it's just like, it's like self, it's just a it's like reminder self-love posts. Like, remember your I don't know, it's not cheesy, it's, and a lot of it's really sad, a lot of it's like sad stuff too. And but it was a starry night, not Vincent Van Gogh's Starry Night, but it was just the animation part of it was just a starry night. And then but you had to like listen to the whole thing, and I was reading the quote, and I was listening to this, to the audio, the song that they had put with it. And at the very end of that TikTok, a shooting star went across, and I was like, well, there's my answer. Yeah. It's right there. So, and again, that's one of those things where it's like, well, if you were looking up shooting star hashtags on TikTok, then the algorithm's going to get them to you. But I know that. And so I picked something that I like don't look up.
Yeah.
Or Google, or like, I'm not looking up shooting star on TikTok. And so yeah, that was my confirmation, which of course I'm not going to be able to find the image, because whenever I'm looking for something, I can't fucking find it. But, and I also like the quote that was on it, was also like something very meaningful to my situation. I was like, yep. And then there was the shooting star.
I do that a lot with like, tags on Instagram sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm dealing with something and I just like want some type of not verbal, but written confirmation that like what I suspect is happening is happening, because I can be a very like suspicious, like, yeah, kind of person. Well, that doesn't sound right. I'm not a suspicious person. I have very strong sixth sense about a lot, yes, of stuff that happens, yeah, in life. And but I'll do that. I'll look up a specific word on like Instagram tags and just land on one and see if it's a message that like resonates. I don't recommend that as like, you know, your decision making tactic. It's just something that I do sometimes.
Oh, I found it. Okay, so it wasn't that in depth, but it was something that that applied to me. So I'm showing Brooke. I screenshotted it with
the shooting star. Oh, it is a shooting star. That's nuts.
So I had to, you know, so I saw the shooting star go by, and I had to wait the whole TikTok through again, and I screenshotted it and I got it, but it just says. So the TikTok, to give this person credit here, is at soulful.quotes. And they usually just pick like angsty kind of backgrounds, like rain, like you're in a high rise and it's thundering in the background and you're looking over the city and it's raining and like, you know, just very like my kind of backgrounds and just very sad, angsty stuff. But this one just said, toxic people stop talking to you instead of apologizing when they're wrong. And that was something that at the time, that was literally happening to me. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was reading it, and then the shooting star came through, and I was like, okay. Well, fuck me. There it is. There's the answer. And so I took a screenshot of it, because I take screenshots of a lot of stuff. Actually,
so
weird.
That is so fucking weird. Does it surprise us though? No.
No.
Not really.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah, 1 month ago today I took that screenshot. Wow.
God, it's already been a month?
Yeah. Well, a month ago today is just when I had like a decision to make. And like, so my decision, even though I hadn't told a lot of people about it yet, like my decision was made today, a month ago. Well, cause that was the answer I was looking for. Wow.
I don't even know how we got on this topic, but to finish off the dream invasion. So if we scroll down here, this is something that I think a lot of our listeners will appreciate if they are dealing with the dream invasion. What you can do
What to do?
To protect your energy, if you are having dreams about people that you don't want to have dreams about, or you suspect maybe someone's trying to insert you into their dreams. So apparently candles and spells, mantras, putting things around you, like by your like on your bedside table or something, can kind of absorb that invasive energy. Maybe if you've got like a big fat ass crystal that you really feel, you know, safe with in your immediate vicinity, you can set that beside you. And then it also says work on your vibration and raising it. Learn to access some of the higher energetic planes through meditation. This creates an environment where the attacker cannot go. They dwell in the lower vibrations and they're unable to sustain their connections to higher vibrations. If you find yourself in this kind of situation, do not resist or react. Assert your control, because they can't harm you unless you let them to. Disengage and demand that they leave your dream, and state you're not allowed to be here.
Yeah.
And also, I kind of want to just put this in there too, because especially with the accidental invasion, if you dream about somebody consistently, but you also know for a fact that like you interact with them or they played a big role in your life, but you don't want to have dreams about them, it's chances are that it's like not their fault. I mean, it's not a fault, period, but chances are that like they're not trying to bring you harm. Like, you're dealing with trauma and a wound has been activated and you're trying to heal, and that's going to come through in your dreams. And when you remember stuff like that, this goes back to that one episode of Spiritual Shit that we were talking about, where she was saying like the dreams you remember the last are the ones that you have like the earliest in the morning before you wake up, your venting dreams. So I mean, chances are if that's the last dream that you remember having, your brain was just like letting off steam.
Yeah.
And it's like not a big,
because maybe you're not letting off enough steam about whatever topic it is.
Yeah.
When you're awake. So the only time your body has to release this energy. And if you're venting in your dreams, is this, you know, you're
my bad, I just dropped a whole mouse on the keyboard.
Then like something is bothering you. Maybe you don't know what it is, but maybe even just acknowledging that something's bothering you and you know, giving time during your awake hours to acknowledge that. And because that's very interesting that like your earliest dreams that you remember in the morning are like your venting dreams. That makes so much fucking sense.
Yeah, and apparently those are the ones that people worry the most about, and they're like, oh my god, like this symbolizes this and this and that, and like I have to go do this because I dreamt about this. And it's really like you're supposed to just brush them off because they're not that important. It's just like little tidbits of bullshit.
Yeah. Dude, I wish I could brush off dreams. That shit, no, I can't. But yeah, I mean, and that's why we feel that way. The reason we feel like I have to go act on this in my physical realm is because like it did mean something to us, like venting, like we are feeling something, and whether or not we know what it is, it had such a powerful impact that it makes people go make changes in their real life.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And also, I fully believe that, like, you have to be, I feel like if someone wants to invade on your dreams, knowingly or unknowingly, purposeful or unpurposeful, I think also, like, you have to be a strong person. You have to be a very strong person to sustain your dream, and you have to be a strong person to sustain either being pulled into somebody else's or somebody coming into yours. And so if this is happening to you, like, also just know that like this person has this ability because you are so strong. Like, it, because if you weren't strong enough to sustain somebody coming in or pulling you out into theirs, like, it wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to, you know, you're that, that means that you're a very strong person and you still have your power in your dreams. And like Brooke said, all you have to do is say, you're not welcome here. Don't come back if someone is really bothering you, because you are strong. You're strong enough to sustain somebody else coming in your dream or pulling you into a different, somebody else's realm. And if you did not want that for yourself, then you can say no and you'll walk your happy ass back to your dream.
Say, I don't want to be here. I don't have a place here. There's no reason for me to be here, or I'm leaving. I feel like those are all good things to say to like snap yourself out of it. There's been plenty of times where I have had to say in my dream, like, this is not real. I looked at the clock at 7:13 and then I looked at it at 7:16. Those are our birthdays. That's weird.
What the fuck?
Anyways, like, there's been plenty of times where I've had to wake myself up and like, when I'm, while I'm waking up, I'm like jerking and like my legs are kicking and shit like that. It's like I'm fighting something off.
Yeah. You have, and you know, that's something that probably, again, so let's, if you also, if you feel like you don't have the power in your dream, like you fully realize someone's coming into your dream or you're being pulled into theirs, but I could also foresee, just because of what I've experienced lucid dreaming, where I know I'm lucid, but I also don't stop the path. Like, I just kind of let it happen. Like, that might be because you might not believe that you still have your power, like, and you do. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is in your dream, you might even in your dream be like, oh my God, I can't say that I want to leave. And like, those are things that you would be thinking while you're awake. Oh my God, I can't tell this person no, because like, what if they're not going to like me anymore? Like, those are things that are translating. And so maybe that's something that you should work on, is why do I feel powerless?
Yeah.
Because I have all the power. This is my goddamn fucking dream.
Yeah.
This is my goddamn fucking life. I have the power.
If you have never watched Waking Life, that's a movie that, first of all, I think everybody should watch that at least once. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. It's all about lucid dreaming. And
ooh. Is that on Netflix?
No, but I think that it may be on Amazon Prime, possibly. Mm. I'm sure you could find like a pirated version of it somewhere. You did not hear that here. But it's all about lucid dreaming, and there's so many quotable like moments in it.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at the clock again and it's 7:18, which is me and Steven's like anniversary. That's,
oh my God, what,
okay,
hell?
See, look at this synchronistic shit going on in here. But I strongly suggest watching that movie. My ex-boyfriend showed it to me, and that, I mean, I've watched that movie probably, I don't know, probably 10 fucking times in the past 5 years, and I get something new from it every single time.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with lucid dreaming, or you just want to learn more about it, but you're like a visual learner, I think that that movie would serve you wonders. And the creator of it came out with a TV show that is on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
And it's called Undone, and it's only like 8 episodes. And they do, what is it called? It's called like rotoscope animation or something, where like they film, they record, like they shoot the movie with people, but then somebody goes over it and draws everything. So it looks so real.
It looks like a painting.
Yeah, it looks like a moving painting.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And some of it is more like obviously a drawn cartoon, but then other parts is like, I can't tell if that's a human or a drawing that's like really good, but like,
oh, that's cool.
The TV show Undone is created by the same person and they do the same thing, but the animation is like way better, like to the point where mm-hmm. I can even recognize a lot of the actors in it. And wow. It has to do with schizophrenia. It's like based on a true story, and not so much dreams, but time travel and stuff. So I definitely would recommend those if you don't know much about lucid dreaming, or you just want to.
And Inception. If you haven't seen Inception, you should go watch that movie. It took me, I had to watch it at least 3 or 4 times to even understand what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
At all. And I guess that's not necessarily about lucid dreaming, but like it could be kind of applicable, because I'm not going to spoil it. You should just go watch it. Leonardo DiCaprio too. Like, hello.
Yeah, Inception is about lucid dreaming. It's about,
it is?
Yeah.
It is? Oh, see, I still don't even know what it's fully about, because it's, you have to watch it that many times.
That's, they put that in this article. Inception is based on the concept of purposeful dream invasion.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't even know that. Wow. I mean, it makes sense.
And I remember in that movie that he has, like, the dreidel or whatever that helps him, like, figure out where he is. I've only seen it twice. I should probably watch it again, to be honest. But
For some reason, I mean, so mental health is definitely addressed in that movie. Like, there are things, if you haven't seen it, like, there will be things addressing mental health. And I thought that it was mental health that was I don't want to spoil it. That was just like the confusing aspect of the movie. Mm-hmm. I thought that was due to mental health, but I didn't know it was actually based on an invasive lucid dreaming. Wow. I want to, I need to watch that again now. Knowing that.
There is a laundry list of movies that deal with dreaming and deal with tapping into like
your subconscious.
Yeah, your subconscious and astral plane and like all of that shit. And I mean,
dude, the astral plane is so like Inception to me. Maybe like, I don't know, maybe down the line when we feel more experienced with it, we'll talk about it. I definitely don't feel like when I first learned about iCloud, and I like I really didn't know what iCloud was, but I knew iCloud existed. The astral plane is like when iCloud was first released in like 2009 or something, where you're like, what does this all mean?
Yeah.
Where are you? Where are my documents?
Really quick before we finish this episode, I wanted to address an email that we actually got. Hold on one second. Oh, here we go. Okay. So I keep forgetting that my email address is in the description of this podcast. So if you have sent me an email and I just have not gotten back to you, I'm really sorry. I keep forgetting. I need to check that email more, and I'm sorry. But anyways, if you want to start sending in questions at the end of every episode, I can't fucking talk. we will address them either at the beginning or the end of our next episode. I'm going to hold myself to that because fuck. Anyways, so this question comes from Eliza, and it says, "Hello, Brooke. My name is Eliza. I am fascinated with witchcraft and spirituality." Girl, aren't we all? "I need help with discovering how to cleanse, how to be a cosmic witch, and how to perform spells. I will definitely have more questions in the future. Thank you so much." So that's a very loaded question.
It is.
I think the first place you should start is just find you a very good beginner witch book and just go from there. Mm-hmm. Don't try to base every single thing that you do around just being one type of witch, because the only way that I found out that I was a cosmic witch is trying out green witch tactics and kitchen witch tactics and this mm-hmm. and that and the other. And then I was finally like, I depend on the moon and the stars to tell me what to do in my life sometimes, most of the time, fucking all the time.
Right.
But I never would have figured that out if I hadn't dabbled in a lot of stuff. So I would say If you want to learn how to cleanse, that is something that's super Googleable. But I mean, I cleanse with candle smoke. Sometimes I'll light a candle and I'll blow it out and I'll use that. We don't use sage on this podcast, so I would not recommend sage. You can use incense sticks. You can use cinnamon, burning cinnamon sticks. There's all types of ways to cleanse. So I would definitely, the internet is your best friend when it comes to that, but just figure out
for sure
the thing that works for you.
Also, like Brooke and I talk about, I think, using Pinterest a lot on this podcast, but Pinterest is a really great place to find things because you don't have to come up with everything yourself. Like, you can definitely modify anything you want to work for you, but you aren't expected to come up with everything on your own. So I would definitely, whatever it is you want to look up, like cleansing your energy, grounding your energy, protecting your energy, like look those things up on Pinterest. And also, I found it helpful to follow people on social media, and you got to be a little careful with this, but like go on YouTube and find people of different classifications, like a cosmic witch or a green witch or a kitchen witch. Like, go find those people on YouTube and like look at their content and just see, like, and you know, just like with all social media platforms, people are putting their best foot forward on their social platforms. So just like take everything with a grain of salt and know that, like, just because you see someone have this magical perfect life on their social media doesn't mean they actually have a magical perfect life in real life. But you could probably find, you know, just by watching what somebody else is doing, like, oh, I like that, or I don't like that. And if it comes that you like a lot of different things, like maybe you're eclectic, that's what I classify myself as. So I, yeah, and I enjoy seeing all different kinds of witches on social media, and that includes Instagram and YouTube, TikTok, and you know, it's a great place to get inspiration. And I think it's also a great place just to start, like, because it's a big world out there. Like, where do you start? And those things are very accessible. They're free. And then, yeah, once you kind of have an idea of, okay, I want to invest in like this really great astrology book, or, you know, when you kind of know the path you're headed down, then you can start investing in those pieces.
I would definitely recommend maybe looking into a moon magic book, because that is one way to really get into cosmic witchcraft. Yeah. Because I mean, there's a shit ton of moon spells, and you can plan out your spells according to the phases of the moon.
And moon, there's a moon tarot or oracle card.
Is it Moonology? I think Taylor.
Yeah, Moonology. Yeah, maybe try the Moonology tarot set or oracle, whichever one it is. Moonology oracle. It's an oracle card. Yeah, try that one. The Black Prism Oracle. That's a really good set too. Yeah,
just find some things that interest you and try them out. And
those are our secrets.
You don't have to you don't have to do everything that a cosmic witch does. You don't have to box yourself in. Just try to have fun with it, and don't feel like you need to spend a ton of money on literally anything.
Yeah.
You should not.
Also, there is no race for you to classify yourself. It is, and it's fine if you know from the get-go, I am this. Like, that's great. But if it takes you years, or you might even like say, oh yeah, I identify as a cosmic witch, but then like 2 years later you switch it up, like it's totally fluid, and there's no rush. It's not like you have to pick a category to be a witch. Like, you don't have to pick anything. So just take your time. There's no rush. Figure out what you really love. And then you can spend your coin on some pretty crystals and books.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. You don't have to.
You don't have to, but you can.
But you can. You probably will.
Well, I'm glad.
That was a good one. That was a good email.
I'm glad that we addressed that. I'm so sorry if you've been waiting on my response, because I didn't check my email because I just didn't remember, honestly. I'm not going to talk down on myself. I just didn't remember.
It's not your working for me. Like, I obviously, I'm paid to check my work email multiple times a day, but like my own email inbox is so neglected because like I'm not getting paid to check that out and go through all the junk mail.
Yeah.
So I don't check my email very much.
I have like 4 email inboxes, and the only one that I check regularly is the one that my bill receipts come to.
Right.
So I want to make sure that I didn't get like double charged. And that's my fault. I should check the email regularly that I offer to our podcast listeners. That is so rude of me. I'm so sorry. Oh shit. But anyways, we hope that you enjoyed this episode about Dream Invasion. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. Mm-hmm. And God, what day is tomorrow? No, what day is Wednesday? When was this going to be posted? The 17th? 16th?
So today is the 13th. And Wednesday is the 16th.
We've only got a couple more episodes left this year. So probably in the next couple episodes, we'll start talking about the new year. And wow, we did actually really good with this episode, like not veering off into like talking about COVID.
We did, right? Politics? Like we didn't talk about COVID or politics. It's going to be really, you guys, it's going to be so nice to not have things to talk about when it comes to politics, because like, obviously shit's going to still happen, but we're not going to be living in a reality TV show every day of our lives in January.
Yeah. So you guys will actually get more.
So we can like start talking about things we want to talk about. I mean, we wanted to, I mean, we had to talk about that stuff. That was very important. It was ruining our lives. But, like, we're going to get a fucking break. We're going to have, like, as close to normal politics as we could possibly get. People qualified for their jobs, doing their jobs, working, showing up.
Stuff that people actually keep subscribing for. But y'all must like our personalities or something. Keep coming back for more, so... There's that. Okay. Anyways, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.